Unit 9, Chinese-American Relations, A History, Part 2, The Cold War to the Present. The Cold War. After the war, a new war of international tension, intrigue, and political posturing, called the Cold War, forced the U.S. to scrap any thoughts of the false comforts of official isolation. It joined the United Nations, UN, and other international organizations, such as the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and the General Agreement on Tariff and Trade, GATT. It was determined to play a major, if not dominant, role in the post-war international affairs. The world was the stage for intense rivalry between the communists on one side and the democratic capitalists on the other. It fostered close scrutiny of each other, as well as a brisk interchange of often fabricated and distorted propaganda between the polarized sides. It injected the fear that if one side blinked, a nuclear war would be triggered. The world, seemingly, was always on the verge of warfare. This environment placed the United States and China on opposite sides once the communists took power in China in 1949. This constant friction jeopardized chances for meaningful political interaction and intercourse. This atmosphere of distrust and fear left little incentive for the different sides to talk seriously. By the end of the Second World War, or during the last year or two of the war, the world stage was being set for the Cold War. President Truman's attitude toward China hardened. American policy was explicit that only one China, nationalist China, led by Chiang Kai-shek on the island of Taiwan, was the official China. The Americans made it abundantly clear that Mao Zedong's communist regime on mainland China would not occupy China's permanent seat in the United Nations Security Council. The outbreak of war on the Korean Peninsula brought about an abrupt change of focus in American foreign policy. The new American strategy was to militarily isolate or alienate China in Asia. To accomplish this, the United States established bases in East Asia and mutual defense treaties in East Asia. Treaties were negotiated with Japan, the Philippines, Australia, and New Zealand. American President Eisenhower later expanded these to include South Korea, Pakistan, and Thailand. To cap off this anti-China strategy, the U.S. strengthened ties with Taiwan, or nationalist China, with which the former had official diplomatic ties. In the 1950s, American power and credibility deteriorated somewhat in the Cold War. Its own people, who began to oppose McCarthyism and the blunt anti-communist policies of John Foster Dulles, the American Secretary of State in the Eisenhower administration, helped to undermine national prestige. In 1953, Joseph Stalin, the Soviet leader, died. These events helped to bring about a shift in direction in American foreign policy. The United States began to look more to Asian events as major threats to America's national security. The Iron Curtain was firmly established in Europe, and NATO forces provided secure protection on the western side of the curtain. For the time being, things looked fairly stable in Europe. In the East, because of the end of the Korean War and the exodus of the French from Indochina, things were not as stable. The American political elite contended that the foremost problem was the vacuum left by the French withdrawal from Indochina. To officials in the United States, this void must not be filled by another communist regime. The realization of objectives of the domino theory, the essence of which was that if not checked, countries in a given area will all gradually fall to communist rule, could not be allowed to perpetuate. The Chinese Revolution had established a communist regime in the most populous country in the world, and the tensions between North and South Korea were not going to go away overnight. Success of the domino theory looked more likely in Asia than in Europe. The United States felt that it needed to concentrate its energies and resources in Asia. American policies during the 1960s and early 1970s essentially were to prevent communist takeovers in Asia, in particularly in South Vietnam and Taiwan. American policy was to contain communism where it already existed, while simultaneously coexisting peacefully with its Cold War communist rivals. Military expenditures increased as defense budgets went sky high, with democratic and communist bureaucracies building huge arsenals or inventories of high-velocity, even supersonic destructive nuclear weapons in a very fragile, polarized world. Even China tested a thermonuclear weapon in the early 60s.